You know, some of us don't like being in the middle of the crowd because it gets a little convoluted and it gets a little close. You
gets
know,
a little gamey in there.
That's a better word, I think. But you often have these observations from the middle of the crowd.
Yes, I do. This is my observations from the middle of the crowd. I stand with you right in the middle of that crowd. And I do, ladies and gentlemen. And this is about the hard life that many of us endure. And the question of surviving, in some respects, getting by. And for those of us who, many Americans, many millions of Americans that have suffered through the last 5 years, and it's been a tough 5 years, starting in early 2008 and through much of 2013, and it's just now beginning to turn. Just now we're starting to see the real turn in the job market, in the financial markets, and so on. Regardless of what's happening in the rest of the world, America is beginning to turn around. Okay. But the hard life that many Americans lead, here is my observations from the middle of the crowd. Stand tall. Do not let all of this get to you. It is not necessarily, you do not stand alone. And you have to feel that you don't. When you speak to people that have problems, they always think that they are the ones that have the problem unique to themselves. And they learn remarkably that those problems are shared by many other hundreds, if not thousands of people. It could be a mortgage problem. It could be a health issue and so on. The key for us today is to find out. And we find out by going to organizations that can help you. And you have to look, go into that source. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone. Don't be afraid to get on your computer. We all have problems, all of us, doesn't matter who it is. And in retrospect, those problems, many of which can be solved, and sometimes you need a little bit of help. And that help that you need is out there, so seek it. Don't be afraid to say, I need some help. Go to your computer, go to your telephone, go to your local Social Security office or your social service community organization, go to your church, go to your synagogue. They can help you. It's about talking to someone else, and you'll be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, how many people have the same problem that you do. My observations from the middle of the crowd as I stand with you. Yes, Roland.
The previous speaker has expressed opinions not necessarily understood and or
there is your disclaimer.
Appreciated by the management of this station.
Disclaimer.
Well, those are really great thoughts, Carl. I mean, those are thoughts that I'm sure that everybody thinks about, especially when they're going through the last several years.
Yeah,
you know, from 2008 to now.
Tough years.
It's just, as you suggest, it's just now coming about.
Just about.
We're getting out of it.
Yes.
And, you know, all of us have feel the pinch. If you look at your food prices today.
Yes.
Look, you know, I just filled up my propane gas tanks.
No.
At my home. I have two 100-gallon tanks. That covers, unfortunately, I have a pool heater, which I can use in the summer. But it also, it's the stove and it's a few other things in
sure.
the house. $600.
That'll get your attention.
Well, it certainly got mine.
Yes.
I think the pool heater is going off for a while.
But, you know, it doesn't matter what the demographic, what the scale in terms of low income, middle income, upper income. When you have a problem, which is my point in my observations, most people don't understand that they can talk to someone else. They can reach out for help. Most people suffer these. They have these, what I call these private battles alone.
Well, you know why, though, Carl? I mean, nobody wants to say, hey, I need help.
But in time, when you, I agree with that. We have this pride. We got into this. I'm going to get out of it. Well, sometimes you need someone to kind of push you in the right direction. You'll get out of it yourself, but sometimes you need a little bit of help to get you down the road.
Okay. Do you want to loan me $300 toward my gas tank?
Can I swim in the pool?
Oh, well, of course. I mean, there's a registration fee, but, you know, we're being facetious on some of these
we
things.
We are. But
also, you're right. It is a tough time for so many.
It is a tough time, and I want our listeners to know that if you reach out, you will be surprised what you learn. What you learn about your problem, which is not necessarily unique, but you will find a way, if you, as long as you're persistent, you must be, to solve that problem.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't have family that they can rely on just to talk to, whether it's for counsel or for other kinds of help.
We used to in this country. We do not any longer. And here is where the internet, social networking, and other tools become of great use to us.
I think we should talk about, on some other point in another program, about the efficacy of family and how important it is. I know you came from a wonderful family,
yes,
and so did I, because we're both fortunate.
We are.
But it's something that not everybody can access or have.
Absolutely true. Call Sabatino Rollins Smith. Stay with us. America
Weekend. Order in the court.
Does your landlord allow pets? This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. 5 years ago, Donna looked for an apartment that allowed cats. It took some searching, but she and her cat found a great apartment together. Recently, though, the apartment complex has been sold, and the new owner says no pets. If Donna doesn't get rid of her cat, they've threatened to evict her. Donna knows this can't be right because she's never missed a rent payment and the cat has been no trouble at all. Shouldn't the new rule only affect new applicants? Existing tenants should be grandfathered in. Who do you think will win this case? Stay tuned for the final verdict. So, who did you choose? The apartment owner or Donna's cat? Unfortunately, the new rule is legally enforceable. The cat has to go. And that's the final verdict.
Think green. Harrison with you. Regulating greenhouse gases is actually worth money. Believe it or not, regulating greenhouse gases will generate a fortune. So who should get it? The cap and trade climate change bill looks to create an estimated $150 billion in the first year it takes effect. Then within 40 years, greenhouse gas regulation should generate $3 trillion worth of value in the United States alone. So where should that money go? A coalition called the U.S. Climate Action Partnership, curiously consisting of GE, General Motors, Ford, DuPont, and Shell, Duke Energy, Florida Power and Light, and Pacific Gas and Electric, will meet to lay claim on all this free money. But should it go to utility and oil companies, or to government investments in new technology, along with the customers who'll be facing rising rates? We'll keep you informed.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.